1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, it wouldn't bother me. Because it's a, said it and said it, it's a spiritual hospital. You may need financial healing or physical healing, emotional healing, whatever. God's still in the healing business, isn't he? I like what these kids do. I've got posters all over this place. I think there's one back in the kitchen. Russ, if you want to get it, it's a big one. So it was laying on the table this morning. It's got people's name on it. These kids, Natalia came up with this one. It's a sign-up sheet here. What's it say here, Natalia? For those who love God. If you love God and Jesus, got Jesus on there too. If you love them, here's a sign-up sheet. That's pretty good timing that y'all did that the other week. Here's another one of the kids did. Maybe Emily? Zach? Bella. Bella did one. Sign name here to honor God. Wow. It's got the church. It's got the world. Got the cross. It's got me when I had a lot of hair. That was a long time ago. That's nice. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is the cross.
That's awesome. I tell you what, Russ, make a place for that where the prayer box is at and put a pen or here you go. Here's a marker maybe if it'll work. We'll get there later. That's pretty good timing if those kids did that because not a lot of times the Lord downloads a message to me a week or two in advance. Sometimes more, sometimes less. I have had the Lord change my sermon as late as on late Saturday night. I'm sure it'll come sometime on Sunday morning, sometime one at Jim and Tommy. But as of Wednesday, I didn't even have a clue what I was preaching on, and that's kind of strange. I normally at least have a plan A, and if the Lord wants to change it, that's fine. And Beth said something at practice the other night when we were getting ready to leave about God's just looking for a few good men. And on the way home, Lord said, that's your message. I didn't even think about this till I came in this morning. I saw it on the wall. Had to pull some of the paint off the wall to get it up here. But I said, boy, that's prophetic. That was good timing, girls. And then Chase was singing about it. There's an army rising up. Well, it's enlistment day. And God's just looking for a few good men. And a few good women, too. And a few good children. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no, you know, in the Bible it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. Now there is a language difference between male and female. And for you young folks that's getting ready to get married, you'll figure that one out. Won't take long. There's German and there's Spanish and there's English and then there's female. And there's male. I jotted a few down. When I say, baby, you look terrific, that means please don't try on one more outfit. We're already late and I'm starving. That's what that means. Yeah. Yesterday I said, honey, can I help you with dinner? That means, is it not ready yet? When I say, uh-huh, yeah, sure, honey, that means absolutely nothing. That's just a conditioned response, okay? When I say, honey, that would take me way too long to explain, that means I absolutely have no clue how it works. You know. The other day I said it. I said, honey, take a break. You're working too hard. That means, will you turn that vacuum cleaner off so I can listen to the ball game? You know? You said something. She said something the other day to me. She said, I got a bag of potting soil in the Explorer. Just out of the blue, that's all she said. I got a bag of potting soil today in the Explorer.
That meant go get it.
Well, about 10 minutes later, I said, in female, honey, what does that mean? She said, that means it weighs 50 pounds. Can you get it out and put it in the garage? See, Denise knew that. It's taken me a while to learn this out. When I say, that's very interesting, dear, that usually means, are you still talking? I'm trying to watch this ball game. And my favorite one, this last one I wrote down, is when I say, I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am. I'll let your imagination finish that one out, okay? But there are some differences in the lingo. But I think basically the men and women, and I know most of y'all here, have good intentions. Ezekiel 22:30, you don't have to turn there, but if you're keeping notes, Ezekiel 22:30 said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Thank you. God's looking for just a few good men. Next week is Mother's Day. Marion's gonna teach and probably bless the moms or maybe pick on them, who knows. But dads and guys, this is your Sunday. You're going to get it first. Amen. Because we're going to be gone to Florida on Father's Day, so I'm just going to go ahead and load your wheelbarrow while you're here. Chapter 5 of Judges ends with, and the land had rest for 40 years. The next verse, because you know in the Hebrew there's no chapter difference, so the next verse is chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, that cycle continued 7 times. You'll see later on again. It said, and the land had rest. And they, as long as Joshua was there, they were fine. But then when Joshua died, then guess what? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Thank you, honey. And then again, they would turn to God for a season. But then they turn their back on him and they do evil in his sight. I missed some on the slide this morning. I was getting ready to go to them. Here's some I was going to put on the slide. Rebellion brings retribution. Rebellion brings retribution. Repentance brings restoration. See, that's the cycle. They would go into rebellion and it would bring retribution to them. But then they would have a time of repentance and that would bring restoration. Rebellion leads to retribution. Repentance would lead to restoration. When America's under God's blessing, we forget him. Keith, would you cut the light on there on the corner, please? When America's under God's blessing, we forget him. I know they said that set like an all-time record in churches the week after 9/11. The week or two after 9/11, churches were packed. By October, it wasn't as many. By November, even fewer. And Christmas Day is all gone. Same thing you see at Weight Watchers. And Mom went to Weight Watchers in January. They had to pull chairs out. By March, they was putting, not even, I mean, you could have sit in 3 chairs. Some of us could sit in 2 chairs at the time, but, that's what happens, you know? It doesn't last long. It's got to be a lifestyle. Same thing with the Weight Watchers. Can't be a diet. It's got to be a lifestyle. Same thing I'm talking about this morning. Our nation was founded on God, freedom of religion. Now the left is trying to get freedom from religion. Not freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. The left is trying to twist. Pardon?
They just want freedom from one religion.
Yes, one religion. Yeah. The right one, yes. I want to read some quotes from 4 of our founding fathers. George Washington said, while just government protects all and their religious rights, true religion affords to government its surest support. Thomas Jefferson said, of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams said, "It's no slight testimonial, both to merit of worth of Christianity, that in all the ages, the great mass of those who have risen to eminence by their profound wisdom and integrity have recognized and reverenced Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of the living God." John Quincy Adams. And Benjamin Franklin, one of my favorite. I used to collect his pictures when I was single on the $100 bills, you know. I hadn't seen them since. "God governs the affairs of men." And Ben said, "If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it's improbable that an empire can rise without his aid." Hear that? Benjamin Franklin, "God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without him noticing, it's pretty improbable that an empire can rise without his aid." Now, Natalia, would that be awesome to be able to read quotes like that in a public school book? Wow. Can you imagine Emily opening up the school book and reading that instead of the evolution junk that they give us? If you recall back in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham received word from the Lord that he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness, and he pleads for 50 righteous men. Well, he ends up negotiating his original plea down to 10 righteous, and that proved futile, and consequently, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Now, a few good men. I wonder in a day and time, now I read this on the internet, so I know it's true. It says 88% of drunk drivers are men. 83% of those arrested for felony crimes are men. 85% of all murders are committed by men. It says 1 in 5 have either been to jail or in jail or headed to jail. And 75% of all suicides are men. I wonder if God was looking for a few good men in the USA, what verdict he would reveal. I heard somebody say if he doesn't come back soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because we're getting so bad. What's the qualifications of a good man? What makes a good man? Is it the clothes we wear? Is it the cars we drive? Is it the houses we live in? Is it all of our technological gadgets? I saw a bumper sticker recently that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Wrong. What makes a good man is his ability to lean on the Lord, to lead others to the Lord, and to learn to trust in the Lord. Let's go over those again. Lean on the Lord. To lead others to the Lord. When you lean on him, you will. It'll splash off on them. You'll lead others. They'll want something, what you got. And you've got to learn to trust. Everybody say trust.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord. This isn't just for the men this morning. Y'all ladies can steal it too, okay? Back in Judges 6, God's people were so ravaged by the Midianites, they were hiding in the dens and hiding in the caves, and they cried out for mercy. They cried out for mercy. And guess who God gave them? Gideon. Gave them Gideon. And just when God needs a few good men, Gideon comes along. First thing Gideon had, I'm not going to go over for sake of time, but in 7, 11, and 14, Gideon gets a word from the Lord. So Gideon has an encounter with the living God. He has an encounter kind of like Saul did at the time on the Damascus Road. The cool thing about Gideon was he's just an ordinary guy. You know, so many times in the Bible we talk about kings and priests and, you know, big shots. But Gideon's like me and you. He's just an ordinary guy. He wasn't a prophet or priest or king, but he's radically changed by this encounter, and his fear turned to faith. That's what we've got to do as men, turn our fear to faith after this encounter. His eyes turned from his enemies to his foes. Amen? From his enemies and his foes to the Lord, excuse me. From his enemies, his mindset, instead of looking at the glass half empty, he started looking at half full, so to speak. Instead of keeping his eyes focused on it, the enemy and the foes, he kept his mind fixed on the Lord. So that's what we've got to do. Get our eyes from our foes to our Father. We can live our lives looking at the political mess in Washington, or we can look to the hills from whence our help comes from. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The man who fears God can face any foe. Amen. How about the 12 spies of Canaan? Remember, they're out in the wilderness. 12 spies goes into Canaan. 10 saw giants, but 2 saw God. Joshua and Caleb. They're the only 2 that got to go in. 40 days those spies were in the land. 40 days, 1 year. They were 40 years out in the desert, 1 year for every day. 12 spies went in, 2 saw God. How about Goliath? How about Goliath? Man, I preached that message before, David and Goliath. Remember, all the brothers were there, all of his older brothers. David's out in the field. They look, Goliath's 9 feet tall. All of his brothers are saying, he is too big to hit. David said, no, man, he's too big to miss. He looked at it completely different. They say, man, that guy's way too big to hit. He's a man, as big as he is, you can't miss him. He had a different mindset. He wasn't looking at his foes. He was looking at his Father. Wow. They were saying, man, that guy will kill us. David's like, man, I'll kill that guy. I'll cut his head off with us. Oh, man, come on. That's a real good place to say amen, y'all. Amen. Woo! Come on. We could just stay there for a while, but that's okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't get your eyes fixed on Washington. I'll tell you, Donald Trump's not going to fix it. Cruz and Carly ain't going to fix it. Amen. I'll guarantee doggone you, Hillary ain't going to fix anything. We can't get our eyes set on it. The only thing that's going to fix it is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, any of his people here this morning, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, I've got to do that first. Before you pray, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive your sin and what?
Heal your land.
How many knows America needs healing?
Oh, yeah.
Needs healing. Well, it's not the politicians. Something's going to make it worse than better, but it's... I don't want to preach that message. That's another rabbit trail. So first, he had an encounter. Second, if you look in verse 12, the Lord said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Valiant warrior. Gideon had a lot of courage. He had a lot of courage because he had his eyes fixed on the Lord. David did too. When he went to fight that Goliath, he had a lot of courage because he knew God was with him. Gideon raised up an army, 32,000, and God said, too many, too many. Now, the bad guys had 10 times that many. You know, you think, we ain't got near enough, you know? He's like, 32,000's too many. God said, no, I just need a few good men. I'll get the glory when I do more with less. Amen. See, God will share anything with us except His glory. He's not going to share His glory with us. So 22,000 ended up being afraid and left. If you read the story, I'm just not going to go through it for time. So that left 10,000. But God doesn't use the fearful. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So we had to get rid of the fearful ones. Do you know, I did another Bible check on the internet, so this is fact. Do not be afraid is in the Bible 366 times. Be not afraid. Check out Bible Gateway. 366 times. That's one for every day of the year. On leap year. This is leap year.
Oh.
Yeah, this is leap year. It's usually an extra. It's leap year this year. 366 times in the Bible. Don't be afraid. So every day this year, just pull one out. We're not going to be afraid. Amen?
Amen?
In the parable of the talents, remember the bad servant? He didn't invest his talent. Why? He said, I'm afraid. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. How about in the Garden of Eden when Adam hid himself from God because he was afraid? See, there's a correlation here. Fear and sin are linked. But God be for us. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Who can be against us?
That's true courage.
True courage. Okay, encounter, courage. The third one is wisdom. Verses 4 through 7 of Judges 7. Still too many. Well, Gideon's got to be sweating now, doesn't he? The first purging was the fearful, and now the next purging is the foolish. Now listen, there's a fine line between bravery and stupidity. There's a fine line. I tell Mom every week, Mom, why do you lock your car? We're in the church parking lot. Ain't nobody going to bother us. She's like, if somebody could come through here and steal, I'm going to keep my door locked. So there's a line between that. She's probably right. She's lived a couple years longer than me. She's, you know. Actually, this is being recorded, so I leave my key in my car. My key stays in my car, in the ignition. If anybody takes it, I've got insurance for it. Bless God, they need it more than I do. But now there is, you can be stupid about it. So should we lock our doors because we trust in the Lord? Yes. Right, we should lock our doors. Yes, that's wisdom. God told the cowards to go home, though, and He tells the careless to leave as well. And if it's a test, then they failed it. Remember, He told them, the ones that lap and they're looking around to keep them, but the ones that got down on their hands and knees and was drinking, send them packing. That's how he's. So he ends up with, out of 32,000, how many does he end up with? 300. 300. You know there was a movie called that.
Yeah.
300. Leonidas, and the Spartans, and I love that one quote where they said, there's like 400,000 of them that said they will shoot so many arrows at you that it will blot out the sun. And he said, that's great. We'll fight in the shade. Love that line.
Amen.
Yes, amen. That was having courage. I don't know how much wisdom, but it was courage. Amen. And the fourth one, verses 9 through 14 of Chapter 7, God told Gideon to lurk in the shadows of the enemy's camp and see what he could learn. In this dream, we see God doing something extraordinary through someone who is very ordinary. See, it wasn't Gideon's strength. It wasn't Gideon's strength. It was God's strength through him. God's strength. We can do, Philippians 4:13, I can do, say, all things. Through who?
Christ.
That's right. Who strengthens us. God gives us the strength. We can do anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. What a powerful victory. 300 against a multitude. And guess what? They had no weapons. No weapons. A trumpet in one hand, a torch covered with a pitcher in the other. A torch covered with a pitcher and a trumpet. That's all they had. And the Lord. Say, and the Lord.
And the Lord.
And the Lord. Amen. The trumpet stood for boldness. Its sound announced that we're here. Chase, grab the trumpet if you would. The sound announced, not only are we here, we ain't backing down. And it's time for Christians in America to stop rolling over and playing dead. Let your voice be heard. It's time for us to call those senators and the people in Washington, you know, and tell them, if you vote against morality, we're going to vote you out. Quit being the silent majority. Blow that trumpet. Woo! Come on, y'all. Kind of trumpet they blew. It wasn't a silver trumpet or a gold metal trumpet. That's the trumpets in the land in Israel. Amen. The clay pitcher. Remember the clay pitcher that covered the torch. The clay pitcher was broken. It's called for brokenness. You see where we're going? God has placed his treasure in earthen vessels, but we have to be broken for him. He wants men to be bold. He wants men to be broken. And he wants us to be bright. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see the Lord in you. Yeah. That torch, yeah. When that brokenness came, they could see the light. Mm-hmm. So remember those words. Be bold. Be broken. And be bright for him. Now's the time for us to take a stand and take America back. Because it only takes a few people to do it with God's help. But you got to be committed. You've got to have an encounter with him. You've got to be courageous. You've got to be wise. And go in his strength. And you got to be committed. You got to be committed. Everybody say committed. Okay, I'm going to read a letter that a church member in Illinois sent to his pastor. I'm going to read it just like it was written. Dear pastor, you often stress attendance and commitment as being very important for a Christian. I totally agree with you, but I think a person has a right to miss church now and then. I think that every year a person ought to be excused from church for the following reasons, and I've indicated the number of times in parentheses. So started out at Christmas. Christmas holiday, the Sunday before and after are just too busy. Two. New Year's. Sorry, but the party just lasted too long. That's 3 weeks. And he put down Easter and spring break, 5. 4th of July, we spend it the weekend at the lake. Labor Day, I just need a break. Memorial Day, we're putting flags on graves. School closing, the kids need a break. School reopens, the kids need one last fling. Family reunions, mine and my wife's. I like this one. Oversleeping. We stayed up too long on Saturday night. One per quarter. Four.
One per quarter.
Death and family. 2. Anniversary. We like to go back to our honeymoon suite. 1 week. Sickness. 2 per family member. Family of 4 and 1 is sick. No one can come. So that's 8 weeks. Business trip. What can I do? My work expects it. 1 week. Vacation. 2 weeks every year. I like this one. Bad weather, 4 weeks. Ice, snow, rain, and clouds. Maybe he meant fog. I don't know. Kids' ball games. We need to keep them up with sports. 4 a year. NASCAR races. Don't judge me. That's what it said. It said NASCAR races. Don't judge me. 2. Football. Don't judge me. 2. Unexpected company. We just couldn't leave them at home alone. 2. Time changes. Daylight savings time, spring and fall. I can see spring when you lose an hour, but fall you get an extra hour. You know, but he put them both down. And then finally, specials on TV like the Super Bowl or the Masters, etc. Pastor, that leaves 4 Sundays per year that you can count on us to be in church. The first Sunday in February, the second Sunday in May, the third Sunday in August, and the fourth Sunday in October, unless we're providentially hindered. Signed, a faithful member. That was a true letter that the guy got. Wow. A couple of them even hit me. I remember 5 years ago, we went to a football game, didn't we? It was okay. I'm going to a NASCAR race this month.
How many years did you
But it's the Saturday night.
How many years did Jill McNeil say she
did? Yeah, we run into Jill McNeil this week, and she's been a faithful member at Garden Creek for 67 years. Her husband, when he passed away, had perfect attendance for Sunday school for 55 years.
What?
55 years of perfect attendance. And they had them on, you know, they'd give you a pin, and you got a perfect attendance. That pin, it went all the way down to his belt. He had like 55 of those things, just, you know, they just attach on there. He was the candy man. Every time you'd shake him, he'd give you candy. Howard, talk about faithfulness. But it takes more than just faithfulness. It takes more than just being just faithful on a Sunday morning, or if we have a special service, or whatever. It takes commitment. But God's looking for a few good men. He's looking for some to lean on him. He's looking for some to learn and to trust in him. He's looking for some that have boldness and brokenness and brightness. Are you being bold for God at work? Are you broken like them clay pots that broke so that they can see your light shining? Have you had an encounter with the true living God? If you have, do you have the courage to step out? Ask him for wisdom. He'll give it to you. It's what Solomon asked for. And go in his strength, because with God, all things are possible. Well, today's enlistment day. It's enlistment day. And just like they make you do if you're at the Y or anywhere else, they got a sign-up sheet. Well, these kids already made them out. I guess the Holy Spirit told them what the message was going to be before Beth told me. So we got some sign-up sheets. We got one back there on the table. We got one right up here. And Natalia did. Tell you what, why don't you take that one back there too, would you? Natalia, put it back there. We're going to have a sign-up. We're going to have a sign-up time. And it's not for me. It's not for Marion. It's not for us. It's for him. You're not promising me anything. But it's time for the men of God and the women of God to stand up, to take a stand, to take America back for God. Can we play that song real quick? Can you find that? I listened to a song last night I hadn't heard in 25 years probably. And it's a song by the Gaither Vocal Band. And it's called Just a Few Good Men.
Is a willing man of God, dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
Men who raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few.
Lines are open. Tommy, we come up just for a minute. I'm going to put Tommy on the spot. He doesn't know I'm going to do this. So the enlistment lines are open. Are you ready? And are you willing to come in? Because he's looking for a few good men and women. You were in the Air Force, right?
Yep.
You enlisted.
I enlisted, signed but up. Went through school and became an officer.
Tell them what happens if you go AWOL.
They hang your butt.
They do. They hang you, don't they?
Yep.
That's a bad deal. You got anything to add this morning?
I think it's a timely message. And we need each other. We need unity in the body of Christ. But we also need to stand for integrity, for the kingdom of God, for what's right. Wherever we find evil, and you don't have to look for it, we have to be against it. We overcome evil with good. But if we don't resist the devil, he will not flee from us. Be strong. Last time I spoke here, it was about fear. And we will not fear. Do not let fear come into your life in any way. And, you know, Jim and I were talking first thing this morning about the glory that lies ahead of us in another life, another world, another kingdom that we can't even imagine yet. So I'm going to do my best to live through this one and to serve God. But there's always that eternal promise that powers us as Christians. It's not only this life that we hope in, but in the life to come.
Thank you, Tom. If the enemy can't deceive you, then he can't defeat you. And fear is that big deception. Okay? So let's stand. I'm going to dismiss. And I'm going to ask you to sign up, enlist. The enlistment line's open back there. And he wants your commitment to be all that you can be. Amen? Father, thank you for opening your word to us, Lord. Help us, God, as we lean on you, as we lead others to you. Help us to learn to trust in you, that we can keep our eyes not on the foes, but on Father. That we will be bold for you. That we will be broken before you. And we will let our light so shine, we will be bright before you, God. So help us to encounter you daily and give us the courage and the wisdom and the strength to stand for you in a world that it's not real popular to be a Christian. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and fill you with his peace today and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Welcome our visitors, David Morgan and his fiancée, Kathleen Hollifield. It's good to have y'all here this morning.
Yeah. Desert, and soon all the world will see the living water is
first. Denise.
What are we doing?
Check.
Check. Already checked.
Will be forever mine.
Awesome.
And or a slap.